What's going on, everybody? Monday morning edition, NHL Fantasy on Ice. We got Robbie Reese, myself, Pete Jensen, guest James Harding. What's up, waiver wire James? It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a long time, guys. Happy to be back on with you. And, really exciting weekend to open the season. And, let's get into it. Start talking some waiver wires. Some
and happy birthday to you, James.
Yes,
special
yes.
Happy birthday
happy
to waiver
birthday.
Wire,
happy
James.
Happy birthday, James.
Thank you, guys. Yeah, this is 32.
Nice. So, yeah, I'll be joining you in about a month. So looking forward to that. But have a great day, James. And thanks for hopping on with us. So
you guys are giving me my birthday present early. So,
Well, we got James's waiver wire column, first edition, week one. NHL.com/fantasy. We're going to try to get those up on Sunday nights this year. So if you're setting your weekly lineups, you'll be well equipped with all of James's waiver wire tidbits. But I think definitely on Monday morning, like we're looking ahead to tonight's games and we see the news that JT Miller is coming back tonight from the COVID-19 protocol. And that's just like really good news for the Vancouver Canucks, right, guys? Like, whether you look at the overall impact on the lineup, obviously an impact on Elias Pettersson, who has started slow this season. But yeah, just like overall thoughts on the Canucks getting Miller back, one of the most valuable players in fantasy.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at what he did last season, the way that he settled in onto that line with Pettersson and Brock Besser, it's a huge get for them. It's literally, adding an all-star forward back into this lineup. And Jake Virtanen is a solid player, but let's face it, he's not a top six player. He's a third liner at best, especially with how he's deployed in Vancouver. So the ability to add JT Miller back into this lineup and onto that power play, just opens things up for Elias Pettersson. Like you said, he started slow so far, and I think that this is just going to be the jumpstart that he needs, Pettersson, to get going and be the point per game player that I think we all expect him to be this season.
Agreed. That's going to be an instant shot for that line, James. I totally agree with you. Now, and not so good news, Sean Couturier for the Philadelphia Flyers out a minimum of 2 weeks with a shoulder injury. On your column on waiver wire top 10, you listed Oscar Lindblom as the top guy on the list. Is that a for sure thing now that Coots is out? Maybe Lindblom, Patrick, who are you getting from Philly?
I still would be high on Oscar Lindblom. He looks, obviously, we're very happy that he's fully recovered from all the medical issues that he had last season and that he's back playing hockey. And he looks very good. He looks very solid so far through two games. Losing Couturier is a blow for them. He's a hard player to replace, especially his two-way game, being able to be such an effective forward offensively and defensively, playing as a number one center like that. Morgan Frost right now is penciled in as the number one center until Couturier returns. Nolan Patrick is probably going to get some looks. He's looked solid so far in their two games against the Penguins last week. So, I think it's going to be a little bit of a rotation for them trying to mesh out those lines until Couturier gets back. But I have no qualms with picking up Lindblom right now and letting him ride. He looks healthy. He looks like he's, shooting a lot. And I think he's going to come into this season really motivated to pick up where he left off last year, because he was really, one of the surprises of fantasy hockey last year and the surprises in the league. And I think that he's ready to prove everybody that last year wasn't a fluke before he had all the medical issues.
Yeah, and there's still so much to like about Lindblom. I mean, he has goals in each of his first two games. When he left the Flyers last year, he was tied with Konechny for their goals lead. And then you look at the Flyers' center depth. You mentioned Frost, who's a rookie. They also could move up Kevin Hayes. They could also shift Claude Giroux from left wing to center, which he played for the vast majority of his career. And then they also have Nolan Patrick. So even without Couturier, you have four different options to make this work over a two-week span, which I think they'll be able to. I mean, sure, they play some tough teams in the East Division, but the Philadelphia Flyers, like we've been preaching, are one of the deepest forward groups in the entire league, and that was excluding Frost. So, like, they're good to go here. They can replace him in the short term.
Yeah, and when you look at their upcoming schedule, I really don't think that it's a bad time for them to be losing Couturier and having to shuffle the lines like this. They have a back-to-back tonight and tomorrow against Buffalo. Then they play two games against Boston, and then they play two games against New Jersey. So, you know, over the next 2 weeks, four of the of their six games are against teams that we all expect to not be playoff teams in New Jersey and the Buffalo Sabres. So, you know, I think this is a good part of the schedule for them to lose a guy like Couturier and still be able to have a lot of output, have a lot of fantasy appeal. And let's not overlook the fact, too, like Pete said, you know, Lindblom has scored in both of his games, but he's covering every category. He's a plus three right now, four shots on goal, four hits, four block shots in two games. So, you know, all of those stats in leagues that count everything, you know, he's really checking all the boxes so far.
Now, we saw Florida make their season debut on January 17th, which was yesterday. Yandel got a goal, so a lot of fantasy owners, I think, are relieved there. Ekblad scored. Now, we didn't see Duclair get a point in that game, James, but do you still think he's a solid pickup just because he's going to have that top-line exposure? He's expected to keep it with Barkov?
Yeah, I think you just have to kind of wait that one out a little bit. I thought it was one of the best value signings of the offseason, getting a guy like Duclair, Andreas Athanasiou out in Los Angeles, signing with the Kings right before training camp. You know, a few signings like that were really great signings right before the season started. You know, you have to give Duclair a little bit of time. I mean, he only had less than 2 weeks to practice with these guys. They hadn't played a game. They were delayed, you know, getting into the start. It was only their first game of the season, their first real action for the Florida Panthers in you know, months. So you have to give them a little bit of time to gel and a little bit of time to mesh at game speed, because, you know, we all know that practice speed and game speed are two different things. I'm keeping Duclair right now. I would pick him up. He's on that first line. He's on that first power play. And yeah, he had a bad game last night, but I still think that there's a lot of underlying value there. With a player like him, especially if they shuffle those lines and they put Huberto back on that line with Barkov and him. And I think that they could really ramp up the production from that point on.
Yeah, it's been interesting. They haven't played Barkov with Huberto. I know they're only one game in, but they're playing, what, Carter Verhaeghe. And they actually had a big performance, which was nice to see from Patrick Hornquist. If you forgot about Patrick Hornquist, if he went undrafted because the forward pool in your fantasy league is so, so deep, go and pick this guy up because he covers hits. He had one hit, three shots, a power play point, and he had a multi-point game, one goal, one assist. So Patrick Hornquist going from the Penguins to the Florida Panthers, a bit of a downgrade in supporting cast. But if he's on the first power play unit, that's been a top five unit a few years running, right, guys?
Yeah, and I think too, like, honestly, Pete, I was watching the Pens play a little bit on Sunday, and that power play, you can tell it doesn't have Patrick Hornquist on anymore. Brian Rust is not the same level of net front presence as Hornquist was. So I think that's kind of a stamp of approval too. If you are in a deeper league, Patrick Hornquist, obviously with the hits coverage, is a really, really safe fantasy play. So I think, James, if you're looking at Florida, you know, we can definitely sign off on Duclair for the Barkov exposure and then Hornquist as well, just for the hits.
Yeah, I mean, Hornquist is a guy. He's just such a solid fantasy player. You know, you look at five of his last seven full seasons, he's hit 200 shots on goal. 2 years ago, he had 197 in 69 games, so he easily would have broken that. Last year, he had 168 shots in only 52 games with Pittsburgh. So, you know, he's a 200 shot a year player. Which for a guy who, you know, only really produces anywhere between about 35 to 55 points is a huge output, but he's also always going to give you somewhere around 150 to 200 hits per season. So, you know, especially in leagues, even where hits aren't counted and you're just looking at points and shots on goal, he's a great guy to add. But when you factor in the hits in those leagues, especially the fact that you can get him right now in so many leagues. I mean, 56% rostered in Yahoo. So, you know, he's still available in just under, just over 40% of leagues out there. You know, so the secret is out on Patrick Hornquist and has been for years, but he's one of those guys that can easily help win you a fantasy championship, especially in leagues that count anything like like hits and shots on goal.
And one other thing from the Florida Panthers that we haven't really mentioned to this point, but I think we have to note it here, that Bobrovsky is still technically unfit to play. Chris Driedger came in, won the game against the Blackhawks. Not a difficult thing to do, but when you look at how good Driedger has been last year and this year combined, it's pretty staggering in a good way. So, yeah, that's someone to watch out for on the waiver wire in the short term, just because it's been a little bit murky with Sergei Bobrovsky, who's tabbed by pretty much everybody as a bounce back candidate, but has to get healthy and in the lineup first. So wait and see on that. But Florida has a good backup goalie that is worth streaming, especially in some of these games against the Blackhawks and the Detroit Red Wings. And, you know, even teams like Columbus, Columbus is struggling right now with all that drama they got going on. So, you know, any of those type of games, back-to-back sort of things, Driedger is going to be really valuable, maybe as a fourth goalie, especially if you own Bobrovsky and you're hanging on for dear life here.
So one strategy, James, I know that you got to like, if you're on the waiver wire, if you're hunting every Monday morning, is games played. Anaheim Ducks have four this week. They've got a winnable matchup on Monday against the Minnesota Wild. One guy that comes to mind that's looked great so far is Max Comtois. Do you like this pickup, James, even though Anaheim is not a great fantasy team overall?
I do. You know, young player getting a great shot, playing on a really, really exciting third line there, actually, with Troy Terry and Sam Steele. So, you know, they're really going kind of young on that line and letting those guys just run wild with it. But I like Comtois a lot. I think he was a very highly touted prospect coming out of juniors. You know, we've been expecting him to kind of, you know, take that next step once he finally turned pro and started to, you know, develop a little bit. I could see him definitely, because he's not even getting power play time right now. And he has three goals in two games, and he's only averaging about 13 minutes of ice time a game. So I could see them definitely, with how stagnant their offense has looked, if they, you know, maybe bump him up or start giving him some power play time. You know, 5% rostered in most leagues. And like you said, two games this week against Minnesota, two more games against Colorado at the end of the week. So, you know, a couple of really tricky matchups there against Colorado. But for sure, I think, you know, a player like him getting that opportunity this early in the season, you know, he's definitely someone to watch for. And he's worth taking a flyer on right now, just because, you know, they're a team that's kind of devoid of some fantasy value. And a guy like this, if you can get him cheap and he keeps producing, you're going to be ahead of the curve.
Yeah, we've liked Comtois on this show for a while, you included, James, right? That 1 year when he came in for his NHL trial, played really well. He was fantasy relevant. Then he got injured. Then he went back to juniors. And then last year was mostly in the AHL. So, like, yeah, we have had like high hopes for him long-term, keeper, dynasty league speaking, but it's good to see him back up. He's healthy. He's in the thick of their top nine. And in Anaheim, I see that some of those younger guys over the course of the year, especially with it being Ryan Getzlaff's contract year, like those guys will continue, they'll gradually. And I think by the end of the season, you could see a line like that being their first or second line without a doubt. So maybe kind of a long-term project if you're not necessarily in win now mode in your keeper league, invest in one or two of those guys, and it could pay value down the road.
And James, yeah, you mentioned you mentioned the Colorado Avalanche too at the end of the week with Devon Toews. I mean, I know you know Devon Toews. You watch him a lot with the Islanders. I mean, that is probably on this list for me, the number one pickup, especially at a scarce position. I mean, you want to tell us why that is a no-brainer?
Yeah, good player. Great golfer too. Great golf swing. Yeah, I mean, you know, Devon Toews, he's just getting a great opportunity. You know, he was moved in the offseason. The Islanders didn't want to trade him, unfortunately, just because of the cap crunch and him being a restricted free agent, kind of out of their price range when they're trying to fit so many contracts under the cap. You know, the Islanders were forced to make a tough decision, and Colorado got themselves a top four defenseman. And look at him. I mean, he had a goal and an assist in their 8-0 win against the Blues over the weekend. He's skating on the top pair right now with Cale Makar, who last time I checked was pretty good at hockey. And, you know, so he's running the point on a on a very solid second power play unit, which would probably, you know, rival most first power play units in the NHL, you know, with exposure to that top six at even strength, you know, he's going to get his looks. And for sure, I mean, he's going to be overshadowed from an offensive production standpoint by a guy like Makar, but he's still going to, you know, be very valuable. He's always going to have a great amount of value from a fantasy perspective, as long as he's attached to that top six in Colorado and anywhere in that power play mix. I think he's definitely must own. And the fact right now that he's available in 70% of Yahoo leagues is pretty incredible when you, you know, look at the scope of fantasy hockey and you see who he's playing with on a night in and night out basis. Yeah. You have to add Devon Taves to this list.
Yeah, it's funny. He was always on power play one for the Islanders, didn't really have a great supporting cast. Now when he's at even strength, it's kind of like a power play after they won 8-0. And that's probably just a glimpse of it for what Devon Taves is going to be working with this season for the Avalanche. Big bounce back the other day for them. One move that Robbie and I made, I wanted to get your thoughts on it. We actually cut the cord in a really deep league on Quinton Byfield because he's not, you know, factoring into their lineup right now. We picked up this kid, hidden gem. Not many people talked about him coming into the season, this Igor Sharangovich. And I know the Devils are also working with Ty Smith. They've integrated him really nicely. So you're seeing the youth movement, and Jack Hughes is playing really well. Are you buying this project for the Devils to kind of like be a surprise team, or at least be surprisingly competitive and yield some fantasy value with some of these guys?
I think that there's a lot of underlying value with a team like the Devils, you know, teams like Anaheim with guys like Comtois, even, you know, someplace like Detroit or Chicago, there's some underlying value. But yeah, I like what the Devils are doing right now. Sharangovich, you know, he was on loan in the KHL before the season restarted. He had 17 goals and 25 points in 34 games in the KHL this season. He was never really too much of a scorer before then. So, you know, you're starting to see him flourish a little bit. And he seems to have some chemistry going right now with Jack Hughes. So it's definitely worth watching to see, especially a team like the Devils. You know, he's playing the opposite on that line is Kyle Palmieri. So, that, you know, those are two solid players right now for him to be playing with. You know, Hughes looks like he's really took the offseason to get his game in better shape and, you know, where a lot of people expected him to be last season. I think it's no secret that he had a down and disappointing year compared to, you know, where a lot of people expected him to be. So, yeah, I mean, you know, guys like this, this early in the season, you're trying to sift through who has the potential staying power and who's kind of the flash in the pan guy. But you always have to pay attention to the readily available guys who are playing in top sixes and especially playing on top lines on bad teams, because, you know, they're going to get the opportunity. You know, these teams are putting them there for a reason because they want to see what these guys have. So, you know, even if he's only there for about 8 or 10 games, you still have a top line player for 8 or 10 games, and you can see whether or not, you know, the juice is worth the squeeze.
And New Jersey, honestly, like they kept those games tight, right? I mean, they were right in them. Subban, I think, got up to 30 minutes in one of them. And New Jersey might be emerging as this team. I know it's very early, but they might be emerging as that team in the East that is going to have a lot of tight games this year. Jack Hughes, as you alluded to, is already off to a great start, which is good to see. So I like that a lot. Now, staying in the East division, Ilya Sorokin, obviously under weird circumstances, had an outing against the Rangers over the weekend, James. Obviously, it wasn't the you know, blockbuster start, but you could say the same thing about Shesterkin. He didn't have a good game in his first outing against the Islanders, right? So you're going to see some up and downs from these goalies, but would you still go out to the waiver wire and get Ilya Sorokin while he's available?
100%. I definitely would. Obviously, you have to monitor what's going on with Semyon Varlamov. He was going to start that game against the Rangers on Saturday. Took that puck to the throat in warmups. It seems like it might be a little bit more severe than people were expecting. So, you know, who knows how long Varlamov is going to be out, but the ability to pick up a guy like Sorokin right now, who, as long as Varlamov is out, is going to see the bulk of the starts, because I just don't see the Islanders really giving too much playing time to Corey Schneider at this point, who's now the backup to Sorokin. So yeah, I think you have to go out on a team like that, you know, with the defensive system that they play. It was a weird situation, you know, a kid who he wasn't warmed up, you know, just got thrown in there in a tough divisional matchup against a team that was, you know, very, very hungry and very eager to go out and prove that, you know, the throttling that they got 2 days before was, you know, a fluke. You know, it was a tough start for him. Definitely not the one that I think anybody in that situation was hoping for as his first career start. But yeah, I wouldn't be shied away from it. You know, you got to give him the chance. Don't forget, you know, it was the first time that he was playing in an actual game in you know, about 8 or 9 months since the KHL season finished last year. You know, so I think you just have to give him the benefit of the doubt and roll the dice on him. This is, you know, this is a very, very weird year, and I'm not writing off a kid who's got that much talent just yet.
Yeah, and certainly not under Trotz. You expect him to help him along here, even if Varley is out for a few weeks or long term or even just a few days. I mean, I know it doesn't get any easier for the Islanders. They face the Boston Bruins on Monday. They're the underdogs. I'm actually surprised they're not a bigger underdog, considering it's probably going to be Sorokin again. And even without Pasternak, the Bruins have had the Islanders' number over the years for sure. So, yeah, and then one other goalie you had on your list was Cam Talbot, who I think has been a pleasant surprise. I know it's two games against the LA Kings, but Cam Talbot had really good numbers last year. He's a former 40-game winner in the NHL, and he has a great defense in front of him. So why can't this work for him? It's working so far, right, James?
Yeah, absolutely. He's looked very solid in those two games. Obviously, saved a little bit by Kirill Kaprizov, definitely living up to the expectations so far. And we could talk about him in a few minutes too. But when he's looked very solid. He's solidified that net a little bit for Minnesota. Obviously, I think they were hoping to have him and Alex Stalock kind of in a timeshare this year. So we'll have to see, you know, how they fit Kaapo Kähkönen, the rookie goaltender who's the backup now, kind of into everything. When you look at the slate of games that Minnesota has coming up, they have two games against Anaheim, two games against San Jose, and then two games again against the Kings. You know, two away games at Anaheim, and then four home games against San Jose and LA. So, you know, the schedule right now is ripe to pick a guy like Cam Talbot and kind of run with him, because of those six games, you kind of have to imagine that he's probably going to see four of the starts. And I would say every one of those four starts is going to be a favorable matchup for him, you know, to get a win. When you look at the divisions, and this is something that I know you guys touched on in all the season previews that you were doing. Of course, I listened to every one of your episodes, and you
good
know,
man.
I yell at the screen, and when I disagree with something. But you know, you guys were talking about the division breakdown, and he plays. You know, the Minnesota is going to play 24 games this season against Arizona, Los Angeles, and San Jose. And those are all going to be favorable matchups for them. So I don't see why you wouldn't take a flyer on a guy like Cam Talbot right now.
And they've got two games against Anaheim and two against San Jose this week. So there you go. If you're looking at Cam Talbot, you might get three wins out of that if he starts three of those games. So I like that play, James. Now, one other thing to make note of, the Winnipeg Jets play the most games this week with five. So if you're looking for one team maybe to get a little rhythm, it would be the Jets. The fewest is Calgary at two and Tampa at two. Do you, James, just real quick for the maybe the new players of fantasy hockey, is that something that you would check every week to kind of see like which guy you would get, or do you just want like the top end name? And maybe if they're only playing two games, like from a team like Tampa,
you want to hammer anybody you can in your lineup. It's a little different if you're playing in a weekly league. I joined a weekly league for the first time this year. And so, you know, once the lineup is set for the week, it's set. So this would definitely be a week I'd be looking to try and get somebody from Winnipeg in my lineup, because they are playing five games this week. But you know, it just kind of depends on the matchups and who they're playing. And I think that a team like Tampa Bay is always going to have really great value in their top nine. And you know, obviously Andrei Vasilevskiy is probably going to start, you know, most of their games. It wouldn't shock me if they had a five-game week, and, you know, and Tampa Bay started Andrei Vasilevskiy in all five games, just because of how much of a workhorse that guy is. You know, so a team like Tampa that has such elite talent and is very, very top heavy in fantasy, you kind of have to sift through everything. Winnipeg is a little tricky because they've only played one game. So they have five games this week, and it's going to be interesting to see. It's kind of hard to get a read off of them because now they haven't played in about 4 or 5 days, but they do have favorable matchups all week. I mean, they play Toronto tonight, who hasn't looked good in any of their three games. Then they have three games against Ottawa, and then they play two games against Edmonton. So, you know, the next five, six games for Winnipeg are very, very juicy matchups, in my opinion, from a fantasy perspective.
And one other thing I wanted to mention with you, James, before we get to the slate for Monday, some of these teams over the weekend, which I think is very telling for what's to come the rest of the season, you've seen teams like the Detroit Red Wings, worst team in the league last year, bounce back. Arizona Coyotes, after a game that they probably should have won the first night against the Sharks, they, you know, they laid the hammer down the next night. And it doesn't really matter who the goalie is in those situations. Like, the familiarity with these teams leads to a lot of bounce back appeal. And it actually happens, even though some, in many cases, it's a bad team. So like from those two teams we mentioned, like, I know you're big on Thomas Greiss. There's Philip Zadina. I think if he's healthy, could have a real coming out party this year. And then with Oliver Ekman-Larsson injured for the Arizona Coyotes, Jacob Chychrun is on your list. So just kind of the appeal of those teams and how you can't really count anybody out when you're playing the same team on the second or third night.
Yeah, I mean, I think that I think Carolina is going to be having nightmares about Thomas Greiss's performance in their season opener. And especially if he can continue to put up starts like that, there's going to be a lot, you know, he may not get a lot of wins, but, you know, he's always going to put up quality numbers. I think the confidence boost that he got over the last 4 or 5 years playing in the Islanders system, especially the last 2 years with Barry Trotz and Mitch Korn there, you know, Greiss is definitely going to be a target. Antti Raanta is going to be a target, the backup goaltender from Arizona. And yeah, I love Jacob Chychrun. I think that he's going to see an expanded role with Arizona this season, with or without Oliver Ekman-Larsson. He had a career high 12 goals last season. I think he can break that this year in 56 games. And I definitely think that he could be somewhere between about a 30 and 40 point player, even on a team like that. You know, they still have some underlying value. Phil Kessel is playing really well so far. You know, Nick Schmaltz is still there, Clayton Keller. So there is some fantasy appeal, but yeah, I think guys like that are definitely ones, if you're not picking up, you definitely have to monitor them.
All right, James, listen, this is your first Monday on the program. We got a 10 game slate. We're going to get some picks here from all you guys. We're going to do a little DFS. I'll sprinkle in a pick here and there. But Petey, where are you? You know, you're looking at the board. Rob, what do you like? What do you guys like?
I'll start here. I'll go the Canucks over the Flames on the road, plus 125 for the Canucks. They got kind of embarrassed the other night by Markstrom, who shut them out. Markstrom left Vancouver and went to Calgary. We all know that by now, but yeah, they're getting JT Miller back, so that's like the big thing for me. One thing to watch with that game, I guess Quinn Hughes didn't practice on Sunday. We don't know what it is. It could be the protocol. It could be maybe a minor injury. Just keep an eye on that. But if Quinn Hughes is in the lineup, I like the Canucks considering they're getting JT Miller back. And then I think Nashville's playing a little over their heads right now, not to take anything away from what UC Saros has done and how the offense looks a little rejuvenated with the two games against Columbus. But after Carolina lost to Detroit, I expect them to beat the Nashville Predators. That's kind of like an even type game, but I just think that Carolina is going to beat Nashville tonight.
That's a great spot. Absolutely great spot for the Hurricanes. I like that one, Petey. I actually had the Flames tonight. I think the line might move just a little bit with this JT Miller news. I don't think you're going to get the Flames as a home dog. No way, but I would take the Flames tonight. I think they're playing quality hockey. Jacob Markstrom loves that matchup. And then I would also look at the Ducks for value, plus 110 at home against the Wild. The Wild have been squeaking out wins. I think it's time the Ducks get the monkey off their back, get their first win of the season. Look for John Gibson to have a good one tonight.
Well, I'm going to go in an all-Canadian matchup as well. I'm going to take Winnipeg on the money line tonight at plus 135 against Toronto. Watching all Toronto's games over the weekend, I'm just not impressed with them. I don't have them as a playoff team this year. And at 135, I'll hammer the Jets all day against them. And then I think the value is too hard to pass up with plus 170 on the Coyotes tonight against Vegas out there. And I got to say, I think that the Coyotes, you know, might spring the upset there. And the value on that line is just too much to pass up.
James, did I just hear you say that you do not have Toronto as a playoff team this year?
I do not have Toronto as a playoff team this year. I have Winnipeg as a playoff team. So, you know, that's how I'm going to bet this game. Wow. But on paper, you know, find me a team in that division that got worse this offseason than Toronto. And you know, you can make the case that every team in that division outside of them got better. They were barely a playoff team last year. I had them getting knocked out of the bubble by Columbus. I don't, you know, outside of their big guys, I really don't see much appeal there. And I think that team can be shut down by a lot of the teams that are playing up north this season.
Wow. And Vegas had Toronto as the favorite to win that division. So, James, you're saying no chance they're getting into the playoffs. You don't like them to get into the playoffs. That's surprising. That's surprising.
I had them as the 8th seed in the playoffs last year.
Okay.
You know, preseason.
Bold.
I don't see them being a playoff team this year.
And this has nothing to do with John Tavares and, you know, nothing?
No, actually, I love John Tavares. I think that he's a phenomenal player. I said the big guys up there, you know, they have the four forwards. You know, they traded away Kapanen, they traded away, you know, Andreas Janssen. They let, you know, Tyson Barrie go, and they replaced him with TJ Brody, who is apparently just as bad defensively now as Barrie was. So, you know, I think that I'm not sold on them as a playoff team right now.
All right. As you know, before we get into the DFS stuff, a game that likely, if you're wagering on today's slate, is not going to pop out and jump out at you, and you guys may hate this, but I think Buffalo here with the scenario going on with Couturier, Buffalo at plus 140 winless. And they've hung in those games. They hung in those games with the Capitals. I might go that direction, but my favorite on the board is what Pete mentioned. I like Brenda Moore's Carolina team to take care of business against this Nashville team today. But take a look at that Buffalo underdog play. I like it. DFS, Robbie, go ahead. What do you got?
Well, I have to say this, Bob, about DFS. It's so interesting because we've seen the teams. I think Pete said earlier about the Sharks, Arizona. Like, sometimes when a team loses a game in epic fashion, like the Edmonton Oilers did to the Montreal Canadiens, they might spring back and score 7 against the same opponent now tonight. So I kind of like doing the Draisaitl play. I wouldn't go all in on the Edmonton Oilers, but I do want to say this to everybody that was chirping us on Twitter about saying Edmonton doesn't have goalies. I mean, this is what you get. This is it. They don't have goalies. Okay. So, you know, not to toot our own horns here, but this is what you're going to see from this team. That being said, I am going to go back with the Oilers tonight. I am going to start my lineup and spend up for Leon Draisaitl against the Montreal Canadiens.
Yeah. And you see Mike Smith now, you know, maybe they'll have to turn the page here on him because he's on long-term IR. So it's Koskinen or bust. The backup is Troy Grosnick. I mean, that's even worse than what the Chiefs had to throw in there yesterday to finish out that game and Chad Henne. But anyway, yeah, the Oilers are in some trouble there. The offense, like Toronto, they're very similar in that way, those two teams. Like, the offense will spring a comeback out of nowhere, out of thin air, and, you know, do something crazy, and then the next night will be a stinker where the goalie won't show up. So yeah, you gotta proceed with caution for sure. But I think you can find some value out there. If you're looking at futures, like James said, if you believe him about the Maple Leafs, probably get some good odds somewhere on them missing the playoffs this year, you know, for a team that is a favorite to win the division in the North.
I'd be throwing some shekels down on that if betting was legal in the state of New York, but yeah, not. And for DFS tonight, I definitely, in my opinion, Andrei Svechnikov against Nashville, you know, he looked so good in their first two games against Detroit. I would be hammering him. And Rasmus Anderson, a lot of underlying value there from Calgary. Young defenseman. He's playing on the top pair with Giordano at even strength, and he's running the point on their first power play unit. So, you know, I think he's a guy who you can get great value on in DFS and be able to spend up elsewhere in the lineup. So really big on Rasmus Anderson right now. Forgot to have him and my others to consider list for the waiver wire piece this week, but definitely somebody who's worth adding for sure and definitely worth watching out.
I put a hypothetical bid in one of these leagues where you get like a $50. It's not real money, but you get a $50 budget. I put a $2 bid in for Rasmus Anderson this morning. I'm hoping that gets up. Maybe I'll go into a bidding war for that player, but he's in my DFS lineup too, along with Dougie Hamilton, because I like Pete's take. I think the Canes in a nice spot, and Dougie hasn't had a goal yet, which is a little rare for him in the first two games. So I think he's going to get one tonight.
I think he has more fights than goals so far this season.
Yep, contract year Dougie Hamilton about to explode one of these nights for sure. In terms of the DFS, I would, you know, I definitely like the Canes, so roll out whoever they're starting on the road in Nashville. I do think that, like, there's definitely that Anderson play is great for the Flames, and especially when he's on first power play. Comtois, go back to the well with him, a favorable opponent in the Minnesota Wild. And then, yeah, Jacob Chychrun, I think, is a great, you know, this is a guy that scored 12 goals last year, and I think we could all agree still has a higher ceiling. And we're talking about a defenseman here. You know, he maybe even could lead the Coyotes in goals in their whole skater group this year. So he's a high-end player that could take on a bigger role here for sure. And then a couple other injury, one other injury note I know. So Sam Reinhart might not play for the Sabres. I do like what Bobby was saying about their appeal against the Flyers. The Flyers flexed their muscles over the weekend against the Penguins, but without Couturier, they have a hole in their lineup. So see who is playing in Sam Reinhart's spot, whether it's Dylan Cousins or, you know, somebody else from the bottom six. It could be good value for the Sabres there in a bounce back spot.
I like it. I like it, Petey. So you can catch James on Twitter at @JHardingHockey. Now, James, we're waiting. It's actually @JHarding_hockey. We're waiting for you to change that handle to Waiver Wire James. Mm-hmm. good wishes for your birthday. Much appreciate the advice. And yeah, thanks for rocking out with us.
Hey, guys. It was awesome being back on with you. Can't wait to be back on again soon. Let's have a good season. All right.
Happy birthday, James. Thanks for jumping on, buddy. Talk to you Monday.
Appreciate you guys.
All right, thanks, James. So for James, Robbie Reese, Bob Bender, Pete Jensen, hit us up on Twitter with your last-minute questions for the Monday slate. There are a couple of day games today and then the Tuesday slate as well. We'll be back with you on Wednesday to break it all down and spin things forward to the week ahead. So Pete Jensen here saying so long. Thanks for listening. NHL Fantasy on Ice.